Braden House and Harper Audio present Black Candle Women, a novel by Diane Marie Brown, performed by Bonnie Turpin. A note before we begin. For the author's acknowledgments and a playlist of songs, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider, or go directly to harpercollins.com/pages/Black Candle Women. To my dad, who read me stories. To my mom, who encouraged me to make up my own. Prologue. Augusta. The flight attendant told Augusta Montrose that she would have to remove her purse from her lap and put it on the floor before the plane took off. She realized the man wasn't joking when he stood in the aisle waiting, moving on only when her granddaughter grabbed the bag and shoved it under the seat in front of her. No place for a purse. She'd wanted to explain that it was her first time on a plane, that she was petrified. Not about the flight itself, but the eventual arrival at their destination. When she'd left New Orleans all those decades ago, she'd vowed never to return. She should have known she'd be called back one day, that the city would never let her rest, even thousands of miles away. She'd learned early on about a certain unfairness in life. Some folks struggled disproportionately, carrying things that others couldn't even lift. The Montrose women had taken on an overbalance of grief. But the way Augusta saw it, they'd been given what they were owed, and they were strong enough to endure it. The women in her family lived solitary lives, generations of them under one roof, adapting to their isolated ways, doing fine, they all believed. They were a private kind of people, had to keep others out to keep the secrets in. But recent events had changed them, shaking up the house, rattling the women within. And it was all because of her great-granddaughter. She didn't know yet for sure, but she sensed love was the cause of the girl's recent behavior. This, Augusta understood. She'd swapped one life for another because of love, because of what had happened all those decades ago in New Orleans. It's what Montrose women did. And love was why she'd had to tell them her story, all of it, from the beginning. She'd held on to these words for years, stuck in her head, unsure how to share them. And now, she'd finally set them free. Part 1. August. 1. Victoria. In her mellower days, Victoria Montrose sometimes ate 2 shrimp po' boys just as a snack. Good ones were hard to find near home, but lately, when she got her hands on one, it took only 3 bites before her stomach convulsed in protest. Hot links, the same. Crawfish etouffee, the same. In cases where she had to pause a therapy session to dash to the restroom, she blamed irritable bowel syndrome, sometimes diverticulitis. Pain was often how her body spoke to her. A cramp or an abrupt pang forewarned of troubles to come. But in most cases, an upset stomach simply meant that she'd overindulged. Her body wasn't as forgiving as it once was. Yet today, she'd ordered one of everything greasy and fried at the most authentic New Orleans restaurant in Long Beach. Her daughter Nikki had been born 17 years ago, and an overdone meal was required. Victoria had kept careful track of the years, but the number still stunned her when the woman at the bakery asked how many candles she wanted.
I'm sorry.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?